Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening to each and everyone. This is Apostle Willie Ann Miller. I am so glad that you tuned in, and we just thank and praise the Lord. I trust that you done had a glorious day as well as a glorious week, knowing that God is still God in spite of what you experiencing. God is still God. And the word is one of the words that I would say in the beginning of this broadcast, keep your eyes on the Lord and not on your surroundings. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Well, how do you keep your eyes on the Lord, prophet? According to his word. Stay focused on God's word. I say this all the time, and I had to learn this. Be a student of God's word. Don't allow yourself to be detracted or lose your desire for reading and seeking out the word of God. There's so many things happening at this time, and it's easy to lose focus on the most needful thing. You know, my grandmother then used to say, you don't miss your water till the well go dry. A lot of times that's even in relationships. Sometimes you don't know what someone mean to you that they not there anymore. So there too again, stay focused on the Lord. Make time, get in your word, and you that have your prayer language, pray in your prayer language. But in the book of Jude, it's to build up your most holy faith by praying in the spirit. And that's praying in your prayer language. Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, he talked about how he thanked God for tongues, by praying in tongues. He said, when you're praying in tongues, when you're praying in the spirit, you are praying the perfect will of God. You are talking to God and not to people. People might not understand or can interpret what you're saying, but the spirit does, the Holy Spirit does. Again, we just thank and praise the Lord for each and every one that tuned in. Well, we got 11 days before Christmas, and I pray that each one of us will continue to pray for those that some people would say less fortunate, and share your Christmas with somebody. Think about the needy. Think about the homeless in this time, because Christmas is a time not only just for family, but it's a time for giving. It's a time for considering other people. You know, go out your way. I know this one of my spiritual daughters, she blessed me. She was saying that she trained her children that every Christmas that they would buy a gift for somebody else, that find out, ask the Lord who he wanted them to do something for, and they would go out and buy gifts. So let's don't shut down, you know, or turn our back on somebody that's needed. Ask the Holy Spirit, you know, what would you have for me to do? Who would you would have me to do something for this year? You know, let's make somebody else happy. Because remember, Jesus gave his life for each and every one of us. He didn't think about himself, but he gave his life that you and I may be able to have a relationship with the Lord. We've been talking about, we talked about prophecy. And we were sharing that God had let us know in the coming days, people going to begin prophecy, people going to begin word of knowledge, word of wisdom, but you need to know how to judge it. We starting something new today. We're going to talk about something new, and if you have your Bibles, we're going to get right into it. I want you to go to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. But anyway, when you receive a prophecy, you need to know how to judge it. Yes, you do. You need to know how to do it. A lot of people, they'll run off, according to Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 11, Deuronomy 18, 15, 22, and they'll say, it ain't no, you know, there was a false prophet, but the Bible says, you don't despise prophecy. because everything that we receive is by faith. You know, as a prophet myself, we have to grow in grace. We have to grow in knowledge. We have to grow in understanding and revelation in the things of God. But nevertheless, you still need to know. And anytime you receive a prophecy, it going to line up with the word. We talked a little bit how to know how to receive a prophetic word from a prophet as well, just a prophecy for someone. It's not a prophet, just somebody that's walking in the apostolic reformation. We even talked about in the time that we're living in, some people have not made the transition. In 1980, God restored the prophets to the body. And then in 1990, God restored the apostles. And some ministries still don't recognize or receive the apostles and the prophets. And it's because of lack of knowledge. They don't know any better. Because people were so used to operating with the evangelist, the pastor, and teacher. But still, you don't allow the apostle and the prophet cause you to despise the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, even though it's all of them. According to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, the Bible tells us when Jesus ascended on high, he gave some apostles, some prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And they all work for the same common goal. But we all have to be taught. I found out everything that God have, the enemy of our soul, he counterfeit. It's a counterfeit. And Paul often talked about false apostles. And the Bible talk about false teachers. The Bible talk about false prophets. So there too again, just because somebody immature in an office, that don't make them false. So there too again, as I stated, if you just get in the word and be a student of the word, you would know more. Okay, we're going to go on and pray so I can get in this word because this is what God gave me today in my time of praying and meditation. Father, it's in the name of Jesus again. We want to say thank you, Father. We thank you for this day, and we just praise you. We just honor you today. I thank and praise you for the sponsor of this broadcast, Apostle Armstrong. I thank you, God, for what you're doing in his life. I thank how you continue to strengthen him in his inner man. I thank how you continue to bring knowledge, understanding, enlightenment to him. I thank you for leading him in a plain path because of his enemy. I thank you for giving him what he needs for this broadcast. I thank you, Father, for bringing other people in on this broadcast. And I thank you, Father, for the life that being transformed because of the broadcast. I thank you and I decree and declare that it's power and demonstration through the messages that are being given. We ask that the Holy Spirit would just breathe on the atmosphere. I pray that he would breathe on each and every one that have tuned into this broadcast. I decree by the authority in Jesus' name that enlightenment, knowledge, and understanding will come to those that have tuned in. I'm even believing, Father, that even anyone that experienced any kind of difficult or inconvenience in their body, I bind it, I come against it in the name of Jesus, and I pray as that person lay their hand on their self, as a believer and commanded to go, that pain, that discomfort will go from their body now in the name of Jesus. Okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay, if you have your Bibles, I want you to go with me to 2 Timothy, a very familiar passage of scripture, and we're going to read the first seven verses, and I'm probably going to read it from the Living Bible, and then I'm going to read it from the King James Version, then the American Standard. But I want you to see, and I'm going a little different. I got a different revelation pertaining to what we normally talk about, but it was fresh, and I thank God for it. I don't know about you, but I'm always expecting the Lord to speak. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you expect him and believe him to speak, listen, he will speak. Amen. I'm a witness. He will speak. Okay, let's get started. According to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, beginning at that first verse from the King James Version, he said, "Thus know also that in the last days, perilous time shall come." Now, there too again, we know. Now, I truly believe that we are living in the last of the last days. Now, that I'm not saying Jesus is going to come the next minute, next hour, because I don't know. But based upon what we see happening in the world, now when Apostle Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, they consider the last days is from the time that Jesus was resurrected up until now. They consider that as the last days. But as I stated, based upon what's happening now and what we're seeing, we are living in the last. And like I said, I believe we are truly living in the last of the last days. Amen. I truly believe we're living in the last of the last days. He said, "For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boaster, proud, blasphemy, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, true to breakers, false accusers, incontinent, furious, despised of those that are good, traitors, headed, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." And this really what I really want you to really focus on, the 5th and the 7th verse. Look what the 5th verse say. "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women later with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Listen, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Okay, now we're gonna take it up. And we're gonna read it from the the New American Standard. We're going to read it from it. Like I said, I'll be reading from different translation, because I'm telling you, I don't know about nobody else, but I want to know what the Lord is saying in these last days. And if you really want to know what God is saying, you have to really get in his word. Come on, somebody. You have to really get in the word of God in order to know what God is saying in these last days. And I thank God for our helper, who is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, that's who he was talking about. He said he will lead and guide us into all truth. We living in a time now, it's a lot of New Age teaching. We living in a time now that people is being seduced by the enemy. Now the Bible tell us that we need to study to show ourselves approved. Okay, now I'm in the New American Standard. It said, "But know this, hard times will come in the last days, for people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, demeaning, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, slanderer, without self-control, brutal, without love for what is good." And remember in the book of Thessalonians, because they did not love truth. Listen, regardless of what's happening on this earth, we got to love truth. We got to love what is right. Well, how do I know what truth is? How can I recognize? Truth is based upon what is written in the Bible. You got a lot of some people, they've got brand new Bibles, and they taking certain chapters and certain verses out of it. But you got to love truth. You got to love truth. You got to want truth. And you need to ask the Holy Spirit whenever you read it, "Holy Spirit, open up my spirit to eyes. I want to know what you're saying." Amen. Okay. Then he goes, he said, "Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." Hold it. This, look at that 5th verse. And the members, it's a holding to the form of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid these people. Now, he go a little further, and he's talking about how his, for among them are those who warn. Other words, he was talking about false teachers. And we got to, be, like I said, we got to be careful, because in this hour, we have false apostles, false prophets, false evangelists, and false teachers. We got to be careful. We got to ask the Holy Spirit. Now, I found out if you in a service and maybe a minister is sharing something, and if you haven't received knowledge in that area, it's easier for you to reject it. That's why I always pray when I go in any service, and I always ask the Lord, I say, now, Holy Spirit, help me. I want to hear what you is saying to that through that minister to me. I always pray for help that the Holy Spirit will help me to receive it, help me to rightly divide it, because he's the one, you know, he's the one to help us. But a lot of time, as I stated, a lot of time people get so immune to just coming to church because it's the thing to do. But Apostle Paul was addressing, I'm going to read that sixth verse. He said, for among them are those who warm their way into households and deceive gullible women, overwhelmed by sins and led astray by various passions. Always learning. Listen, remember I said the fifth and the seventh verse. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. You know, I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it from another track because this is so important. The word of God have the ability and the power to transform your life and my life. But that's only after act of our will if we willing to receive what God says. Okay? And I'm in 2 Timothy 3rd chapter. Now I'm going to read it from the Living Translation, one of my favorites. It says, you shall also know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. And in the midst of Apostle Paul writing this letter to Timothy, Timothy was dealing with a lot of false teachers. And a lot of them, they were questioning and doubt, and they were looking at him based upon his usefulness. He was a young man. And they were trying to trip him up. They were just trying to just torment him and frustrate and aggravate him. But Apostle Paul was writing and telling Timothy and encouraging Timothy to be steadfast in the faith. He was encouraging Timothy and giving Timothy specific instruction, giving him knowledge and understanding how to deal with false teachers, how to endure it, how not to allow it to cause him disgrace from what he was taught, what he was raised up in. And, y'all, we living in that time that a lot of teaching is challenging some of the things that we were taught. Better yet, you can say all things that you were taught. I know some things I hear, it challenged me and what I've been taught. It helped me, and I have to go back and pray, and I ask the Holy Spirit to help me. Y'all, I'm telling you, he is a good helper. The Holy Spirit is a good helper. The Bible tells us not to lean to our own understanding, but acknowledge the Lord in all our ways, and he will direct our paths. Okay? But he was telling us, he was saying, in the last day, there will be very difficult time for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. And we living in that time now. You know, God is still requiring us to live holy life, to live separated life. God still requires us to sanctify ourselves through his word. God still requires us to live a life of faith. God still requires us not just to go to church and you know, pretend that we something that we are not. And I'm telling you, the power of God, the authority in Jesus' name, have not lose his power. Come on, somebody. But listen, you and I cannot just live anyway. Don't you know that it's laws and principles in the kingdom? Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, one of the first scripture God gave me when I first got saved. Deuteronomy 30:19. He said, I set before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life that you and your seed may live. I said it's a lot of time because I came, you know, some of the things that I was taught, the people that taught it, they didn't know any better. And you can't give somebody something you don't know. I want you to hear me. Yeah, you know, but I had to learn. People had me to believe that when God get ready, God will stop me from doing stuff. They had me to just go to church as long as I put God first. And the way they told me to put him first, go to church. If you go to church first on Sunday, in the, when you get out of service, you can do what you want to do. You go to Bible study, you go Sunday service, you go to Bible study. But after you do that, you can live any way you want to. Come on, somebody. And God know you can't help yourself. I came up with that. I didn't know any better. And I remember the first time I had an encounter with the Lord at a revival. I mean, it was something else. It was just like I just left the world, but I had such a peace where I was. It was just, and when I came to myself, I started pursuing and seeking after what happened to me during that revival service, who that was, you know. Because for so long, I would talk to God, but he didn't respond. Better yet, I didn't, you know, before I got saved, I couldn't communicate with God because my sin separated me from God. But then when I got born again and the Holy Spirit began to teach me and begin to open up the scriptures to me, it made a difference. It really transformed my life. It was like what the old saints used to say. That I looked at the trees looked new. My hands, I mean, my whole life was just transformed. Why I used to drink and do marijuana and smoke cigarettes, that desire was gone. But as I continued to study and feed on God's word, God become the reality. He was just real to me. A holy reverence came in my heart for the Lord. I couldn't just stay the same. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But then he go down, and I'm still reading, in that third verse, he said, they will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and have no interest in what is good. Now we know, some people don't care one way or the other what's good and what's right. We live in a time. Right is considered wrong, and wrong is considered right. People want to accept any kind of thing. Now listen, grace is not a license to sin. I done said this so many times. Grace is not a license to sin, but grace enables us with the ability to, and the power for our life to be transformed. But some people, the way they teach grace is a license to sin. Well, you know we got grace. You know God, no, I can't help myself. The Bible said, let every man work out his own soul salvation with fear and trembling. The Bible tell us Jesus came. If we truly receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior and repent for our sin, the power of God, the Holy Spirit, will come and it will transform our life. It will deliver us from the power of sin. Come on, somebody, if you truly receive him. Okay. Then it goes, but it said, they will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. And we living in that time, a lot of people, they love pleasure. Come on, somebody. Now, you might well go on that minute because you know I'm telling the truth. We living in a time that people love pleasure. Yes, they love pleasure. People love pleasure not more than they love God. Come on, somebody. Now, it's nothing wrong. I want you to hear me. It's nothing wrong that you might want to go to the game, do that because, you know, and there's nothing wrong with watching TV. God don't mind you maybe watch a favorite movie or something you want to see, but when we begin to put things, come on, somebody, when we begin to put things before God, or better yet, give it more attention that we give in God, that's when we are missing the boat. Are you following what I'm saying? That's when we missing the boat. I'm trying to find another scripture because anybody know Prophet Miller, she going to be looking for scripture because, y'all, I'm telling you, the scripture is what helped all of us. Hear me. The scripture is what helped all of us. We need to know what God is saying to us in his word. I want you to hear me. And there too, again, like I said, pleasure is, I'm going to read some notes. So why is it so tempting to love pleasure rather than God? Pleasure is something we can control, you know. And, you know, when I started looking at this before we came on the air, it began to make sense, if you want to use that terminology. Why do people love pleasure? Because guess what? We can control it. Pleasure is something we can control. God cannot be controlled. And that's the thing about God. We cannot control God. But when we come into the knowledge, the realization that God love us so much. Now, you know, a lot of times people go around, they quote St. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But do you not know a lot of people have not experienced the love of God? Why you say that, prophet? Because a lot of people blame everything on God. Everything, they blame God. Just like, you know, with Donald Trump, and I listen at people, he does. You know, when God began to open my eyes about Ann, I don't have no control over nobody but Ann. I don't want to control me. I learned to let the Holy Spirit control me. But that's something about human nature. When you're not walking in the Spirit, if you're walking in the flesh, you always want to blame somebody. And for the most of it, if you're not a student of God's word and you don't have a knowledge and an understanding and a revelation of God's word, everything you want to blame God. And a lot of times people want to blame God because you don't understand. You don't have the knowledge. You don't realize that everything is conditional. God is a God of laws and principles. God is not going to override your will. And see, when I came into that knowledge and understanding, and God is not going to override your will. Yeah, God wants you to live right, and but God ain't going to make you live right. Yeah, and God don't want you doing drugs, but God ain't going to make you stop doing drugs. If you cry out to God and ask him to deliver you from the drug, listen, I'm not saying if you smoke, you're going to hell. I can't say that. But listen, I can't, on the package, it tell you it's danger to your health. Now, if you want to be delivered from smoking cigarettes, God will deliver you. You have to be willing. See, that's the thing. The enemy don't want you to know. If you will, if you yield your will over and ask God and be sincere, God, I really want to live right. I need some help. The Lord will help you. But God is not going to override your will. God is not going to make you do nothing. God told Adam what not to do about the tree. And Adam, after act of his will, he chose to rebel against what God said. He disobeyed God. That was an act of his will. Did you notice? God know what you're going to do. God did in the midst of he doing, approaching it. God didn't say, you better not put that in your mouth and knock it out and say, God didn't do that. Demons have will. Satan have a will. And so many people blame everything on God because you don't realize, you don't truly know him. Yeah, God have all power. God is almighty. But God gave we a free mala beans. We have a will. And when we violate the laws and principles of God, you, its consequences is set. It's established. When we, it's just like in the natural. But most times you don't experience the effect of some of the laws you violate in the natural till you get caught. But the moment in the spirit realm that you violate the laws and principles of God, something go in effect. Even that day when Adam, they didn't die natural, but they died spiritually. They was cut off from communication and fellowshipping with God. And a lot of people don't realize the spirit world is just the real, it's the natural world. It's just the real, it's the natural world. But God has to open up your eyes to let you see it. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and life. And that's what I said, when God began, when he came real to me, it was like, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. He really real. I began to read the word. It was like every time I picked up my Bible, even to this day, it was like, in certain scriptures, it was like God talking directly to me. He really know me like that. Now, some people say, yeah, you know God. Yeah, you, a lot of times we say, yeah, God know everything. And but the reality, it ain't hit you yet. It's not real to you. Because when the reality really hit, and your eyes truly, truly come open, yes, he know me. He see everything. You ain't gonna keep doing, or you ain't going to want to continue to do what you're doing. The old saying said, to know him is to love him, and that's the gospel. And I'm telling you, and this is what he was saying. I'm talking about pledge. I'm reading some notes. It's a pledge is something we can control. God cannot be controlled. Most pledges can be obtained easy. The love for God requires efforts and sacrifice. Pledges benefit us now. The benefit of loving God are often in the future. Pledges have a narcotic effect. It take our mind off ourselves and our problems. That's why a lot of times people, you know, some people, I'm going to get me a nightcap. Why you want to do that? I need to go do this. I'm going to go out here and lay up. I just need something. I ain't got no peace. I just need something that caused me not to focus on. Let me tell you something. The Bible tells us in the book of Philippians, but if you ain't saved, this don't mean nothing to you. But the Bible tells us in the book of Philippians, but we need to think on things of good. Think on things of good report. The Bible tells us that we have to renew our mind. And this is a constantly thing. We have to constantly renew our mind. I have to constantly renew my mind. You got to do the same thing. You can't sit around and understand what I'm saying. You want to watch TV, please hear me. Watching TV is not a sin. You want to watch TV, you know, point is, don't spend more time watching that TV and you reading your Bible. Because let me tell you something. We have to learn to live like Jesus will, because we going to be tempted. That's why that Jesus, he tell us in Matthew, I believe it's the fourth chapter, when Jesus was led of the Spirit and in willingness to be tempted of the devil. The way Jesus overcame the temptation. The devil tempted him with everything he know was possible that could draw Jesus away from God or cause him to lose focus. But Jesus kept saying what was written. I had, you know, someone call me the other day, and they were telling me about, excuse me, one day this week, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, that they was at home, and all of a sudden, they hand start having this cruise of pain in their hand and a knot up here, a big knot up here, out of nowhere. And so their hand was hurting them so bad they couldn't hardly move it. And the person said, you know, prophet said, I was thinking about going to the emergency room. Go to the emergency room. She said, but then all of a sudden it dawned on her. And y'all, that's why you need to know what Isaiah, you need to have a revelation of Isaiah 53 and 5, Matthew 8 and 17. You need to have some revelation about what you were redeemed from, what Jesus done, and how you and I can walk in and experience the redemption. You can experience. But anyway, this lady told me, said, prophet, I begin to bind and I begin to quote Isaiah 53 and 5, by Jesus Christ from here. And that person said, what I did, I made me a song. So I started singing it. By the Christ of Jesus, I'm here. By the Christ of Jesus, I'm here. I know I'm here. Thank you, Jesus, I'm here. I said, they said, prophet, I made a song out of it. And they said, they did that for about two or three hours. So they just sung and kept singing, thank you, Lord. By your Christ, I'm here. Thank you, Jesus. I am here. I thank you that you, by your scribe, you took it. I don't have to do it. And that woman said, don't you know, prophet said it not went down and the pain stopped? But I had to be consistent. And I wasn't just singing that song just to say it. But this person, we thank God for Apostle McIntyre that joined with us, with Apostle Armstrong and myself on Friday nights. She have a healing school. God told her after she got God healed her from cancer. And God told her to do a healing school, and it'd be on, it's every first Tuesday and third Tuesday and third Friday nights. And I tell you, people's lives have been transformed, bodies been healed, because that's the thing about it. A lot of people saved, and we are, the Bible said, let the Redeemer of the Lord say so. Don't you know we are the redeemed, but a lot of saints don't have no idea what they've been redeemed from. And you got some saints, all the thing they know, they've been redeemed. I'm not a sinner no more. I'm saved, and I'm going to heaven. But do you not know in Jesus' redemption words? He said, I came that you would have life and have it more abundantly. Don't you know it's God's will for you to have joy? It's not God's will for you to struggle. It's not God's will for you to forever got to be dealing with sickness and disease and pain. And see, don't tell me about somebody else's faith. Don't tell me about, well, somebody else will believe in God for this and they die. I don't want that. I don't want to hear that. Why, prophet? Guess what? You got to live by your faith and confidence in God. My faith is not in what somebody else or somebody. Now, I thank God for the apostles and all of that, and I thank God for their experience, and I thank God allowed them to experience certain things, and they got we got testimony about it. But I found out I had to develop my faith in what is written, what God's word say. I think it's in Titus, the first chapter. It tells us that God can't lie. See, you have to develop faith. You got to develop confidence in what God's word say about you. Because you don't know what kind of relationship people have with God. You don't know where they faith at in God. I had to learn that. And I prayed for one of the mothers. I had to learn that. And God revealed that to me. But my point is this. Jesus paid an awesome price for us. And since we have an opponent, we have an enemy, and he go to extreme measure, he don't want you in. Yeah, he don't mind you getting saved, and he'll let you, that'll be all you got. But he don't want you to walk in the abundant life. He don't want you to have that joy, that peace. He don't want you to walk in divine health. You know, God told me, he said, Anna, it's my will for you to walk in divine health, but you have your part to play. And you can't go out here and just eat certain things that is not good for you. You can't just sit around and eat all day and sit around and don't go out and exercise. See, y'all, I'm telling you, we want, but you know, it's God for God. I want God to do this. What you gonna do? That was never God's intention from the beginning, that he did everything for us based upon, as I stated, because we have a will. I have my part to play. The Holy Ghost will help me, but I got to let him help me, okay? But I'm still to my pleasure. I don't got stuck on pleasure, and I'm finding myself expounding on it. Like I said, most pleasure can be obtained easy. Love for God requires effort and sacrifice. Pleasure benefit us now. The benefits of loving God are often in the future. Pleasure have a narcotic effect. It take our mind off ourselves and our problems. As I say, that's why some people say, I'm going to get me a nightcap. I need something to calm down, you know. Sometimes, I go get me a nightcap. I get me a glass of wine and all that. So, well, what you think about that? Listen, I learned to think what the words say. So since I got to work out my soul salvation, you got to work out yours. But let me tell you something. It's nothing on this earth that's more powerful than the word of God. And when we put faith and confidence and trust what God say, and as that young lady told me, how she stood on the word and made her song, and she seen the manifestation of Isaiah 53:5. She said, the night went down and the pain stopped. See, the enemy banking on you, my brother and my sister, he banking on us. We don't know what's written. And then when we do know what's written, he don't want us to believe and trust God and stand on. Do you not know the children of Israel believed that God could bring them, carry them, lead them into the promised land, but they did not trust him? Because every time trouble rose up, they start mumming, complaining. They start down instead of standing on what God say. Joshua, Joshua and Caleb said, I know he well able. But because of the children of Israel rebellious and disobedient, they wandered around in the wilderness 40 years. Their children got to go in. They didn't get to go in because all they were doing, and listen, my brother and sister, listen. If you mama and complain and continue about your situation, it's not going to change. I want you to hear me. It won't change. The only thing going to change is you. You're going to allow yourself to get scratched out. You're going to cause your blood pressure to rise. You're going to find yourself eating. Come on, somebody. I'm talking to somebody. God wants you to know he's not going to override your will, but he said help is available for you. If you reach out, if you humble yourself, you see, God ain't going to humble you, but I tell you what will. Trouble humble you. Trouble cause you to look up instead of looking down. Come on, somebody. Are you hearing it? But God wants you to know he loves you. And what's standing between you and your deliverance is your will. If this woman had to do it for over 2 hours and a half, you might have to walk around. God, I believe what you say. God, forgive me for my mommy complaining. The psalmist said on one occasion, he said, I was overwhelmed and I mumbled and I was overwhelmed. Listen, when you allow your circumstances, you can get overwhelmed with situations, with people. I've been down that road. And I have missed out on a whole week in the early part when I first got saved, thinking about today, what I'm going to do, about tomorrow, or thinking about what I'm going to do about Monday, or whatever. I had to learn. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. As I said, it take our mind off ourselves and our problem. Love for God remind us of our need and our responsibility. Pledge to cooperate with pride. It make us feel good when we look good in the eyes of others. To love God, we must lay aside our pride and our accomplishment. Well, you know, it said they would be unthankful. I look like I don't know if I'm going to get to the scripture. I really want to minister on tonight. But anyway, I'm being led by the Holy Spirit. But y'all, I'm telling you, you have to get your mind on the Lord. You know, some people been saved majority of their life and they still ain't experienced the joy, the peace. They still struggling. Their bills is not paid. They in more debt than they ever been in. They're afraid to step out on faith and believe God for more. Come on, somebody. You know, we have said, and I did it for a while myself, for you, God, you can do anything but fail. That was just a word. I was just saying it. But guess what? I didn't trust him to do the anything. And then I'm going to tell you for one thing, I didn't know how to trust God. I didn't. I had to learn. Now, I know everybody's experience with God different. I'm talking about my experience. But you can overcome with my testimony just like you might. God might have delivered you out of something that I can get, you know, here to help me to overcome. But I'm telling you, well, we have to look to him. But anyway, let me finish. It's a pleasure. It's to love God, we must lay aside our pride and our country. Have chosen to love, pleasure, to love. We have to choose to whether we're going to love, pleasure, love God. And like I said, my verse I want to get to is how, I'm going to go back, I'm going to look at, go back to my King James Version. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power there from such turn away. Now, what power are we talking about? He's talking about the power of God that is able to change you, to transform your life, to deliver us. Y'all, we got, it's people in the body of Christ. They're in bondage. They don't want to admit it because they got pride. They got pride in it. And instead, well, I went up for prayer, and honey, didn't nothing happen. I've been dealing with the thing for years. Listen. If you've been in the church for a long time, listen, let me tell you something. God wants you to have faith in what you hear it. And if they preaching the word, and then you can get it, read the word for yourself. I had to learn that. The Lord had to teach me that. I went through a time period. I could have faith that for God to heal other folks. But when it came down to me, I didn't have that faith. And I said, now how is it, God, I can pray for other people and your power and people tell me what you done did after I done prayed for. But God, why it don't have for me? He said, because you don't have the same faith for yourself as you do for them. And see, it's easy to tell somebody what is written, but do you trust and walk in what is written? Do you have confidence? And like that person told me, said, I just made me a son. By the scratch of Jesus, I'm here. By the scratch, thank you, Jesus, I'm here. Thank you, you took this. I mean, I said, you just made, they said, prophet, I just made a son. And said, then that thought, quiet down. I need to go to the mercy room. Now, rightly divide, understand what I'm saying. I'm not telling you it's wrong to go to the mercy room. You know, sometimes we hear what we want to hear. I thank God for the doctors. But listen, God wants all of us to develop more confidence in his word and trust him even the more. Do you not know? It's so many diseases on the earth now. So many people is dealing with so many. I mean, some of the names that they got, I can't even pronounce them. But guess what? I found out. It's a name above all names. And because of the name of Jesus will cause you and everything to bow, and everything is subject to that name. But you got to develop faith in that name. Do you not know a name represents all who you are? Your name not only identifies you, but it defines you. Come on, somebody. And the name of Jesus represents everything that Jesus accomplished while he was on the earth. Jesus' name is so powerful. Apostle Paul said, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess he is Lord. Come on, somebody. Don't you know when you have faith and confidence in the name of Jesus based upon when you find out what he done did, you can command demons to flee and they have to flee? That the Bible tells us in James, submit to God, resist. Now, a lot of people jump and say, I resist the devil and flee. Well, no. Bag up. It says submit to God and resist the devil and he'll flee. You got to submit first to God. Come on, somebody. He tells us to submit first to God, and then he tells us to resist the devil, and then the devil will flee. Amen? But he said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power there, from such turn away. And then in that seventh verse, he said, and that's why I'm trying to get tonight. I pray the Lord let me sit with this on Monday. He said, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. And I'm talking about the knowledge of God, what the knowledge of God would do for you. I'm going to read some more notes. It's an act or appearance of being religious, include going to church, knowing Christian doctrine, using Christian cliques, and following a community Christian tradition. Such practice can make a person look good, but if the individual inner attitude or belief, love, and worship are lacking, the outer appearance is meaningless. And this is what Paul was saying. And this is what he was telling Timothy. They have a form of godliness. They go to church. They sing on the choir. They can look it, but they not walking in it. Their life's not being transformed. They talk about a God that they have not experienced his power. Come on up in here, somebody. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But I found out Jesus is real. Now, I know he's real. But I'm telling you, God want to transform your life. God want to deliver you from everything you feel that you addicted to. Now, you know something. People can be not only addicted to narcotics, but you can be addicted to food. Come on, somebody. You can find yourself addicted to the TV, addicted to your phone. I'm going to tell you, God have mercy on these phones. Because you can really get addicted. Sometimes I wake up in the morning, And I'm talking about me. Sometimes I wake up and I'm tempted to sit there. I'm trying to check my email because I turn my phone off at night. But if I ain't careful, I sit there and I just go through. Come on, somebody. And I have to say, hold up, and you can't do that. The enemy don't want us to give God our undivided attention. And there's so many things in these last days and getting a lot of people attention. Hallelujah. This good word. Thank you, Father. Paul warned us not to be deceived by people who only appear to be Christians. We got a lot of that going on. I mean, in the church. They go every Sunday. When they out of the service and out the eyes of the public, they doing the very thing God telling them not to do. And I said this again. I was in the service. We said it, and I feel led to say it again. Let me tell you something. When a male in the church see a female as his sister, he ain't going to lust after that woman. If a woman see a male in the church and see him as her brother, she ain't going to lust after him. Come on, somebody. Because nobody in their natural mind going to lust after their biological sister or their biological brother. They not going to be intimate with them. Well, they ain't going to have sex with them. I'm just going to make it plain for you. Y'all, I'm telling you, the power is there. But are we willing to believe and trust it? When we believe and trust what God said, we can receive that, the power, the ability, and it will transform our life. I never dreamed that night. Turning the TV and I was tired of doing pot and tired of drinking stuff. And I was on my way to get some of the powders, you know. I never thought that night when I turned that TV and Jim Baker said to somebody out there, you tired of the life you living. And he said, I want you to pray with me. And I prayed the sinner prayer that night. I never forget it. And when I got in my bed, I was being tormented. I hear a voice. It's like somebody was walking in the house. But that next morning when I woke up and I went outside, the trees didn't look the same. Everything was just so alive. The burden was gone. The desire was gone. It was just like, just like they said, look at my hand looked new. And then I began to be on the journey as God led me in his word. I started reading that word, and like I said in the beginning, that word, because it would begin to be real. It was God talking to me. And I was so astounded. Oh, God talking to me? I would open my mouth sometimes, and certain words would come out. And I know that wasn't even on my mind. And I tell you, it was just a little bit of heaven on earth. Now, that didn't stop the opposition because the enemy attacked my body with sickness and disease. They tried to intercept and stop me. But I thank God for a mother in the church. She told me how to take authority. She said, you as a believer, you have authority. You can tell the devil to stop. He got to stop. I didn't know that. But listen, my time is up. We're going to continue with this. We want to talk about when we get to how powerful the knowledge of God is when you and I get it. When we understand and stand on it, believe it, and have confidence and apply that knowledge to our situation. Because, see, Bible said, faith come by hearing the word of God. I got to stop. Father, I thank you again for this word. I give you praise. I give you honor for those that tune in. As we go now, Father, I release them to you. And, Father, if it's one out there that don't know you, I pray that they would ask Jesus as their Savior. I believe that Jesus, the Son of God, I believe that he died for my sin. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Come into my heart. I surrender my life to you. If that person have addiction, you can say, Father, I'm tired of this addiction. Whether it be alcohol, whether it be cigarettes, whether it be lust, adultery, just say, Lord Jesus, I'm tired of it. Forgive me and deliver me from this addiction. Deliver me. I want to be free. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, he'll set you free. Listen again, this was Apostle Willie Ann Miller. Enjoy the rest of your evening.